It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Monday was a big day on Capitol Hill as Sally Yates, the former acting attorney general, gave her long-awaited testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Sally Yates explained how she told the White House they had a problem with then-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
I had two in-person meetings and one phone call with the White House counsel about Mr. Flynn. On January 26, I called Don McGahn first thing that morning and told him that I had a very sensitive matter that I needed to discuss with him, that I couldn't talk about it on the phone, and that I needed to come see him. So I told them again that there were a number of press accounts of statements that had been made by the vice president and other high-ranking White House officials about General Flynn's conduct that we knew to be untrue. The first thing we did was to explain to Mr. McGahn that the underlying conduct that General Flynn had engaged in was problematic in and of itself. We told him we felt like the vice president and others were entitled to know that the information that they were conveying to the American people wasn't true. We were concerned that the American people had been misled about the underlying conduct and what General Flynn had done. And we weren't the only ones that knew all of this. The Russians also knew about what General Flynn had done. And the Russians also knew that General Flynn had misled the vice president and others. Not only did we believe that the Russians knew this, but that they likely had proof of this information. And that created a compromise situation, a situation where the National Security Advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
Sally Yates wasn't alone at the witness table. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper was also in the hot seat, and he concurred that we have a problem.
Russia's influence activities in the run-up to the 2016 election constituted the high watermark of their long-running efforts since the 1960s to disrupt and influence our elections. They must be congratulating themselves for having exceeded their wildest expectations with a minimal expenditure of resource. And I believe they are now emboldened to continue such activities in the future, both here and around the world, and to do so even more intensely. If there has ever been a clarion call for vigilance and action against a threat to the very foundation of our democratic political system, this episode is it. I hope the American people recognize the severity of this threat and that we collectively counter it before it further erodes the fabric of our democracy.
Yates explained why she went to the White House Office of Legal Counsel with this information.
Finally, we told them that we were giving them all of this information so that they could take action, the action that they deemed appropriate.
CNN's legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin explains what happened next.
What happens after she says it twice in two meetings? What happens is nothing, absolutely nothing, until the Washington Post reports that Flynn has been compromised, and only then is Michael Flynn fired. If it weren't for the leaks, which the Republicans keep trying to change the subject, trying to make this hearing about leaks, if it weren't for the leaks, Michael Flynn would probably still be National Security Advisor today. And that's what I think is extremely chilling, not the fact that some decent Americans and some great journalists at the Washington Post did their job.
So the action the White House took was to fire Yates, while Flynn stayed on for another 18 days until the Washington Post published a story about the issue.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Republicans on the committee seemed uninterested in the fact that we likely had a traitor at the highest levels of the administration. They were consumed with getting Sally Yates. Earlier in the day, the president tweeted, "Ask Sally Yates, under oath, if she knows how classified information got into the newspaper soon after she explained it to the White House counsel." So Chuck Grassley did his bidding.
Have either of you ever been an anonymous source in a news report about matters relating to Mr. Trump, his associates, or Russians' attempt to meddle in the election?
No.
Absolutely not.
Trump tweeted a firestorm ahead of the hearing, amidst reports that he had also called a few senators in an attempt to get the hearing canceled, smacking of witness intimidation. But the Republicans on the committee continued to stray from the subject of the hearing. John Cornyn was still angry that Yates refused to defend the travel ban.
I find it enormously disappointing that you somehow
vetoed the decision of the Office of Legal Counsel with regard to the lawfulness of the president's order and decided instead that you would countermand the executive order of the president of the United States because you happen to disagree with it as a policy matter.
I looked at this. I made a determination that I believed that it was unlawful. I also thought that it was inconsistent with the principles of the Department of Justice, and I said no.
While all that was going on, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was hearing arguments on that very same travel ban the White House is still trying to enact. At issue are the statements candidate Trump made often, describing it as a Muslim ban.
Has the president ever repudiated the campaign statements that he made on a Muslim ban?
Judge King, he has. And again, as I say, some of the briefs walk through this. He said, look, over time, I've made clear.
Well, he changed it from religion to nationality. He explained that he wasn't going to call it religion anymore. He was going to call it nationality, and Mayor Giuliani advised him to do it that way. And they're still on his website today.
And then they took it down. If you appreciate our What's News segments and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. Our work is 100% listener funded. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.